Every night when the sun goes down, every night when the sun goes down, every night when the sun goes down, hang my head and mourn for cry. Suzanne, 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 you're gone. True love don't weep, true love don't mourn. True love don't weep, true love don't mourn. True love don't weep or mourn for me. Going back to Mobile Town. Suzanne, 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 you're gone. Someday I pray my train will come. Someday I pray my train will come. Someday I pray my train will come. Then I can go back where I come from. Suzanne, 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 you're
I'm Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We welcome you to the show. We are glad that you're here to listen, and we hope you'll be back next weekend, every week, right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. And remember, it's listener-supported radio. They deserve your support. So head on over to freedomslips.com, show them some love, find that donation button and use it. Tell them you heard about them on the New American Dream Radio Show. And now, I welcome my friend and co-host, Mike Palachuk, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome these special guests, Thomas Wortman, Jim Fetzer, Philip Ferruzio, and Frank Cordero. So this Thursday evening, we are gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in Port Orange, in Des Moines, Iowa, in northern Minnesota, in Madison, Wisconsin, in Cleveland, Ohio, and wherever you are. My recommended list for tonight, number one, Scott Creighton, YouTube, Church Dog 42 channel. The title is Official Charter, 25 Demands of the Yellow Vest Movement. Number two, Scott Creighton, YouTube, Church Dog 42 channel. Max Kellerman's take on Steph Curry's moon landing statement is insulting. Next recommended, James Fetzer and Wolfgang Halbig, Dropping Bombshells on the Sandy Hoax False Flag, YouTube. And this from Common Dreams. In the hands of justice, white supremacist gets life in prison plus 419 years for murdering Heather Heyer. And the same story on Jim Fetzer's blog, showing that the photo of the event that won a Pulitzer Prize was photoshopped. The victim actually died of a heart attack the day after, and the supposed mother is a crisis actor who also worked the Sandy Hook gig. Also, U.S. attorney takes first steps toward convening 9/11 grand jury. Find that at jamesfetzer.org. Also on Common Dreams, faith leaders arrested demanding demilitarization of U.S. border. And independent journalist and author William Bloom died Sunday at the age of 85 at a hospice in Virginia. Early in his career, Bloom worked with computers at the U.S. State Department, but left after becoming disillusioned with the American War on Vietnam. He co-founded the underground paper, The Washington Free Press. Bloom's books, Killing Hope and Rogue State, were widely praised for their detailed history of recent U.S. foreign policy. Bloom said of his work, "The thesis in my books and my writing is that anti-American terrorism arises from the behavior of U.S. foreign policy. It is what the U.S. government does, which angers people all over the world." Also recommended, Christopher Noel. His YouTube channel is Impossible Visits. And the title of this one is Sasquatch Up Close and Personal, My 2 Years of Learning in the Ravine. Also recommended, YouTube. Search for Bob Lazar, L-A-Z-A-R. Bob Lazar worked at Area 51. Also on YouTube, Al Jazeera English is the title of the channel, the YouTube channel. And the title of the part one and two of the documentary is The Oracles of Pennsylvania Avenue. And this is the description of that. This two-part series examines three individuals and their 25-year, 24/7 peace vigil in front of the White House, revealing how the bizarre act of a man labeled the first domestic terrorist in the U.S. brought them together. Very interesting. The Oracles of Pennsylvania Avenue. And you have to wonder why we have the two different versions of the Charlottesville trial, one on Common Dreams and one on Jim Fetcher's site. And an aside, you've probably heard of Daily Kos, K-O-S. It's been one of the top liberal Democrat websites for most of this century. And do you know that you cannot mention 9/11 on that site or you'll be banned? And why is that, I wonder? Common Dreams also has nothing about the 9/11 grand jury, nothing about the questions around all of the so-called conspiracy theories, and yet lots of good stuff. Limited hangout. What does that mean? It means that the truth is out there, but you have to look. And remember Operation Mockingbird and the words of CIA Director William Casey. He said, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. It means we are in deep. If we did not have the internet, we would have absolutely no idea. The problem begins and ends with the CIA control of all major American media. However, there is hope. Jim Fetzer has been sued by one of the fake Sandy Hook parents. And if that suit were to go to trial, the information we, the American people, could learn through the discovery process would be truly revolutionary and might save the country. Stay tuned." No matter how paranoid or conspiracy-minded you think you are, what the government is actually doing is worse than you can imagine. William Bloom. And finally, the December issue of Penn Magazine is now available. The Resistance. Penn Magazine is PENNmagazine.us.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving, and that resisting the American empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They insist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth. about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Our first guest of the evening is Philip Ferrucci. Phil joins us each week from Port Orange, Florida. Phil is featured on many websites all over the internet, and they just Google Philip Ferrucci and you will find a plethora of great columns, and it's well worth reading. And here we go with his column on our show, which happens to match his own show's title. It's the Empire, stupid.
Okay. Good evening, Working Stiffs. You know, it was just the Jewish holiday of, Hanukkah. So let's talk about being Jewish. From an 8% Jewish guy, this writer recently had a DNA ancestry done. In addition to my ancestry being overwhelmingly Italian, I found out two interesting things. I am both 8% Jewish and 8% Middle Eastern. My maternal great-grandmother was German-Jewish, and my paternal grandfather had roots in Tunisia, okay, North Africa. Be that as it may, finding this all about recently has nothing to do with my sensitivity for the Jewish suffering during the Holocaust of the 1930s and early 40s, or that of the Palestinians suffering by Jewish hands for over 70 years. It just kind of highlights things a bit. Watching the news the other night as to the horrific mass murder of the Jewish worshippers in Pittsburgh by a far right-wing crazy suspect, it gave me pause. I thought back to the march in Charlottesville at the University of Virginia campus last August by a white supremacist group. Sadly, many of the marchers that night were college students. They each carried a torch right out of Nazi Germany and kept shouting, "Jews will not replace us," over and over. Members of various anti-fascist groups, named by the media as Antifa, scuffled with them, and it carried over into the next day when an automobile charged into the Antifa crowd, killing a woman, along with a black man was getting pummeled nearby while the police stood by in idle pose. Apparently, someone higher up in the chain of command over the Charlottesville PD had given orders for the cops to stand down that day. When our president finally made his first public comments, he did not even mention what the Friday evening marchers were shouting. Never once. He kept referring to the marchers as there to protest the taking down of Confederate statues, like the one honoring Robert E. Lee. He purposely, it would appear, refused to go to the crux of the whole Friday evening march, that being that the Nazi-era torches and shouts of "Jews will not replace us." Why did the mainstream media, the media he keeps calling fake news, not hammer that point home over and over? Where were all the Jewish supporters of Trump, showing their distaste for their hero and his lack of real concern over this matter? Where was the Israeli government and its leader, Bibi Netanyahu, showing their disappointment in Trump's cavalier attitude towards what those marchers were shouting? It is as if some hidden hand or Wizard of America, Oz, was writing the script. Am I the only one to see this? The question we need to ask is, how did this kind of lack of presidential, political, and media leadership play in influencing, indirectly, of course, the twisted minds of those two aforementioned authentic domestic terrorists? When you have weak-minded individuals filled with misguided ideals, and they notice that the so-called leaders give license by omission of outrage, you can have horrific blowback. One of the two suspects actually cherished Trump and his platform. The other guy had only disdain for him and it. Yet both men could see that what was done in Charlottesville went by with no sense of outrage to the obvious. Shit happens, sadly. Thank you.
And now from the nuclear resistor, case dismissed in Kansas City court against 5 nuclear disarmament activists. After prosecution no-show, defendants speak. Verdict, nukes guilty of crimes against humanity. The December 7th hearing at Kansas City Municipal Court was dubbed Nukes on Trial. But there was no trial because the lone witness for the prosecution did not come to court. No witness appeared to testify against the 5 defendants' acts of civil disobedience. Nonetheless, nuclear weapons were tried and found guilty as the defendants held their own court following Judge Martina Peterson's dismissal of charges. The 5 civil resistors spoke forcefully about why they had risked arrest for crossing the line at the new nuclear weapons parts plant in South Kansas City on May 28, 2018, during Peace Work Kansas City's annual Memorial Day resistance. Find the full story at nukeresistor.org. And this from The Intercept on YouTube, George H.W. Bush, American War Criminal. The national religion of the United States is American exceptionalism, and we are now in the midst of grotesque canonization of one of its imperial saints, George Herbert Walker Bush. Every media outlet in this country, every politician, Democrat and Republican, engaged in collective eulogy based on lies. Lies about who Bush was, lies about his policies, lies about the mass killing he oversaw during his life at the highest levels of power in the U.S. government. George H.W. Bush was an unrepentant war criminal who spent the overwhelming majority of his life making the world a worse place, a more dangerous place, and he leaves behind a global trail of tears, of bloodshed, of death and destruction. This is the eulogy that George H.W. Bush should be receiving, but instead the U.S. and international news media are engaging in sick propaganda. Leave the stories about how classy he supposedly was, how cruel his marriage was, how he built a father-son relationship with Bill Clinton, how much he liked Barack Obama, how he always wore those funny socks. Leave all of that to the family in their private memorials. But for the rest of us, for the rest of the world, we must remember that his incalculable crimes were committed in public, from the highest chambers of power in the most dominant nation in the world. The accounting for his crimes should also be done in public. If you speak honestly about who George H.W. Bush really was, then you, by necessity, will be indicting the history, the politics, the legacy of the United States. If you speak honestly about Bush, then the myth of American exceptionalism is laid bare. George H.W. Bush, American War Criminal, The Intercept. Find it on YouTube.
A child is too late to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping. Angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring.
bring him Lot, the babe, the son of Mary. Oh, raise a song on high, his mother sing her lullaby. Joy, oh joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. The babe, the son of Mary.
Coming up in our next half hour, we'll hear from Frank Cordero in Des Moines, the Des Moines Catholic Worker. And then after that, we'll hear from Jim Fetzer in Madison, Wisconsin, and also Thomas Wortman in Cleveland, Ohio. Chuck, how you doing? How's it going down there in Florida? What's the weather like?
Hey, it's pretty good down here. It's been cold the last few days, Mike. It's been, I don't know, and it even went down to into the 40s, I think, for a little bit. Yeah, that's really
did it really?
Cold. Yeah.
Wow. That's freezing for you.
It was back to the 70s today, though, so it's okay.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Okay. Yeah, well, I look forward to hearing from your conversation with Frank, and we'll hear from Jim Fetzer and from Thomas Wirt later on.
All right. Sounds good. See you on the other side of the break.
Find some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Thank you. travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now this, from the December issue of Pen Magazine, The Resistance, which features 100 paintings done by Doug Auld, A-U-L-D, his collection entitled The Whistleblowers. And here is a editorial essay from Pen Magazine. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, but for sure by next Wednesday. No, wait, that's not good for me. Can you do Thursday? Thursday's good. The revolution is Thursday. See you there. Will it be streamed? Didn't we already cover this decades ago? It will not be streamed. What's Friday looking like for you? In 2008, when Chuck and I started the New American Dream website, and in 2011, the radio show, the premise has always been that there are no wrong questions. And what that meant was nobody is talking about the things that are important. Nobody asking questions. Please question this bullshit. And we should not feel we are doing anything wrong by asking questions. Those should be allowed, even encouraged. And if we are allowed to ask all the questions we have, and if there were someone willing to listen and provide answers, there would be no need for despair or dysfunction. We have the proof. Of course, Sandy Hook, Boston, Oklahoma City, JFK, RFK, King, Las Vegas, Parkland, were operations set up by the U.S. government and others. And by inference, every single one of the others, San Bernardino, LAX, Charlottesville, Orlando, the Wellstone murder, and at least a dozen others. Have you read William Bloom and John Perkins and Douglas Valentine regarding the incredible dirty trick psyops the CIA and FBI have done over decades around the world to undermine any leader who tries to work for his or her people? Of course they would do the same thing here, especially here. The things we accept as real are fake, and the things we think are ridiculous myths are real. We give mountains of money to the military to expand the empire and to kill, and to gain even more wealth for the already filthy rich. We don't even know we are living as part of an empire, good Americans, good Romans, as we do all we can to scratch and survive and live our lives while meanwhile. It's a big deal. It's a whole enchilada. It's your parents' lives, your children and grandchildren. We must pay half of our tax dollars to the military while our bridges and roads collapse under our feet while we worry and whisper Why can't we have health care while, or don't even think about it? Get busy as usual with your day in a dozen routine ways and not think about what all this means. What is the true reality of your life, your world? I do that all the time, try to escape, but there's nowhere to go. I've looked. And I suppose we didn't go to the moon either, says Uncle Bob, lounging in the big chair after Thanksgiving dinner, pointing the clicker at the TV. No, Bob, we didn't. And yet, we believe in football. We will sit for hours and through hundreds of brain-melting commercials. The new American dream, not of new homes and toasters, but of becoming the kind of people we always thought we were. This is what the world needs. This is what the world is demanding of us, right here, right now. We are the ones. But again, the question hangs in the air, despite the zeitgeist waltzing without worry down the middle of Aneurysm Avenue. Resist what? Things are good. Wouldn't mind if the Twins would have done a little better, maybe next year. And if that is how you're viewing each morning, then probably we don't have too much to talk about, at least until next spring. But what we were thinking about was things like actual fascism, American fascism, the police, the military, poverty, taxes, the national media being directly, massively, obviously controlled by the CIA, all the false flag shooting events, the world in rubble, everything except Times Square. Things like 9/11, Oklahoma City, Sandy Hook, Boston, that whole laundry list. Mostly some people getting so rich it's cartoonish, and the rest of us living a gigantic lie, subsisting on lies, but it's not really living. Stuff like that is what we were thinking about. Penn Magazine is named in honor of Penn Jones Jr., one of the first researchers into the John F. Kennedy murder, an honest newsman who did not lie to us. We cannot figure out what's really going on unless we consider alternative hypotheses, theories, and conjectures. That is a crucial stage in thinking things through. When something puzzling takes place that does not fit into our background knowledge, but appears anomalous instead, we need to have the opportunity to kick ideas around to sort things out. That quote from Dr. Jim Fetzer. And wouldn't that be something? It seems so reasonable, but how could it ever happen here? It can't happen here because poverty is not the problem. It is the solution. I know, right? And that's where everything begins and ends as headed. But we still want to do something. We feel we must do something. Maybe hold a different viewpoint within our heads. Maybe say something. Maybe vote. Maybe fight. The resistance. I've never understood whether a disturbance in the forest was supposed to be a good thing or a bad thing. But so, yeah, anyway, the resistance. Kind of romantic, right? You are the one. The one we've been waiting for, and your time is now. Or maybe it's your group that is the one we've been waiting for, and your time is now. You're underground, with only a bit of wine left and a big-ass radio. Everyone around you is gulping all your goddamn wine and speaking French in hushed tones, but somehow you understand. That big-ass radio just happened to be here next to the cigarettes when you got here, but thank God for it, because with it you found there were others. Or maybe you are Albert Schaefer or Monica Schaefer, and you are in Germany, and it's all very real. Or maybe you are Sophie and Hans Scholl, and you have been dead for a long time, lying in caskets underground in Munich. And did they bother to lay your head atop your shoulders before they put you away forever? Or maybe you have been in a United States prison since the 1960s. During much of the 80s, my family lived uneasily with a bunch of other people in a home in North Omaha we call a resistance community. Greenfields Resistance Community, named after the anti-war song, The Greenfields of France. We did some odd construction jobs. Some people had regular jobs, and we protested, held signs, went to meetings, committed civil disobedience, mostly at Offutt Air Force Base, and went to county jail and sometimes federal prison. So we were resisting. We were fighting against the U.S. military, also sometimes the Omaha Catholic Church, which was in support of the targeting of nuclear weapons by Offutt, the deterrence strategy. In this century, I've gone away from that, not because I came to think it was wrong, but because, for one thing, it was super tough to keep going back to jail and have a family, the stretch and stress and terror of living that life, though I think what we did in those years was absolutely the right thing to do. Since we got the internet, ever since Gary Webb put out his Dark Alliance series on the San Jose Mercury News, Since that time, I've been on the computer practically, pretty near true. And I've been studying, reading, listening, and I guess for what it's worth, I had become a conspiracy theorist, researcher, while what I was actually trying to do was to find out the truth. Who wouldn't? And it's not that I don't believe in fighting the way we used to and the way many people still do. It's just that for my own reasons, I had to find another way. And I do believe that the information war is the biggest battle being fought. I have told others how I feel and got a response back from someone in Omaha that my new friends are his enemies, that he is surprised I am now a Holocaust denier, conspiracy theorist, a lot of so-called right-wing stuff. I do believe we are allowed to ask questions about anything, including the so-called Holocaust, and we do need to know what the CIA and our media and our government are doing, or at least try to know. I do not understand how those who are fighting against the military and the government have missed something they should have seen right in front of their faces to ask questions about 9/11, Boston, Sandy Hook, because to go on, to push on without at least trying to study these leaves you unable to understand practically anything, in my opinion. If you read F. William Engdahl's Manifest Destiny, you will see that he believes our CIA engineered the fall of the Soviet Union and that the so-called color revolutions in Czechoslovakia and Egypt were also done by U.S., the CIA. Even Tiananmen Square, you cannot even believe in a photo of a guy standing in front of a tank anymore. And so we come to today, to JFK, RFK, MLK, Oklahoma City, Aurora, the mail bomber, and there are at least two dozen more that go here. And by now, I was going to say that by now we have come to understand that we have to understand that our media and government are straight out of USSR central casting, but that's not true. We do not understand. Everything is so confusing, and that's the point. Our CIA has done nothing but interfere in the lives of the people of the world for, some 70 years? They kill, torture, manipulate, deceive, really big time on deceiving, in order to run the world, make money for someone. Do you think they would not do the same to us here, especially here? CIA Director Casey said in 1981, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." Confusion is not the problem. It is the solution. After what we have seen, you have the list in your head already, the Kennedys, King, Wellstone, Gulf of Tonkin, fake, phony, fixed elections, CIA dirty tricks, FBI dirty tricks, 9/11, Sandy Hook, Boston, Parkland, the fake anthrax letters, all the bad, awful things that life is not supposed to be about, that government is not supposed to be about, but apparently it is. After having lived through all of that, and now come the fake bombs, the Khashoggi something-something, the immigrant caravan, and who knows what happens by the time this goes to publication. Well, the next time there is a bombing or a threat of a bombing or a bunch of blue backpacks found in Bemidji, the healthy American, the true American, the real American, think CIA, FBI, the police, the real patriot, refuses to stand for the national anthem, and rather, but another knee-jerk reciting of the Pledge of Allegiance, he says, not until I get some questions answered, because this is important stuff. What happens to influence the lives of my children is important stuff. Some say that Trump is the resistance. That was the hope of many on Election Day. That's not happening. Trump isn't going to tell what he knows about 9/11, Sandy Hook, the Bushes, the Clintons, the Obamas, the CIA, the FBI. Why? I don't know why. Maybe he's just no good. Today, there are many who call themselves resistance. We used to think it was John Stewart, and that was easy because we just had to watch and smile. But he turned out to be, not such a much. Do you remember his 9/11 truth show? Same with Michael Moore, of course. His new film has lots of good stuff, but also features the Parkland School actors, and you have to admit, identifying what's going on with the crisis actor shooting hoax phenomenon has got to be a large part of the resistance, I would think. At least being able to see that it exists. There are so many people resisting, doing good things, Common Dreams, Jimmy Dore, Redacted Tonight, all those resisting the pipeline, the plowshares movement, it really goes on and on. But it's complicated. In order to resist what's going on, first, you have to understand what's going on, at least as much as you are able. So that means to try to understand 9/11, Sandy Hook, Oklahoma City, that whole list of CIA, FBI, Obama, Bush, Clinton shenanigans, lies, felonies, murders, traitorous activities, hanging, firing squad sort of stuff. You can oppose war. That's easy. You're on solid footing. Oppose spending money for killer drones and fighter planes and people starving. Yes, do that. Resist your heart out. We need you. The low-hanging fruit is valuable as well. Of course it is. But then you call the folks asking you to look at 9/11 and the reason for the war. You call them conspiracy theorists, as if spending years on the internet studying because you want to know what's going on is below you. And so to really resist, we need to understand. We need to feel with our hearts, but also to work to understand. Because the folks in the CIA and the FBI are full-time. They are smart and, yes, evil. Does that describe them? And should be in prison or work? Worse, but they are smart, and they have made this super complicated for some reason. It's not just about bombs anymore. This isn't your daddy's resistance. It is yours. Our next guest of the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us each week from the Des Moines Catholic Worker, Des Moines, Iowa. Frank is a former Catholic priest, and he has spent over 6 years in county jails and federal prisons resisting the U.S. military. And we're going to hear right now the conversation between Frank Cordero and Chuck Gregory.
Hello, Frank.
Hi, Chuck. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, it's just another a day at the Catholic Worker, the regular Thursday shift crowd. I'm the shower head, and I'm in the back stairway. I'm just going to peek into the kitchen and see if it's okay that I can. All right, great. I'm just saying hi to some folks, and then I'm going to sit on the step here and talk to you.
Cool.
All right. So, well, another week, we continue to muddle through. One of the things that I want to speak to is that Jess and Ruby are have been doing some fundraising, and they're trying to get vans so they can have some transportation. So they put some Jess put out an email for a fundraiser, and she got what she wanted. That was very good for her. She felt very confident, creating space and time so she can visit some women religious and do some retreats in that area. And she has a 6-month plan. So good for her. That's good news. And Julie is our other Catholic worker who's going back to Kurdistan, and she'll be going back at the end of the year. Hopefully her continued rest and relaxation continues here. And then Ruby, the other of the three, is still a wild card. Don't know what she's going to be doing. So I'll find out more because I'm doing this trip that I've been planning on this week to Milwaukee.
Oh.
Milwaukee is the home of Marquette University. And Marquette University has the libraries for the Catholic Worker, the archives for the Catholic Worker movement, Dorothy Day and her papers and all the rest of us. And I've packed up the Frank Cordero papers up to like 2007. And there are 12 file cabinet type boxes of papers. I'm taking them to Marquette, so they're out of the Berrigan house where I moved out, and I feel no longer responsible for all this stuff. At 67, it's I'm anticipating a great emotional dump.
Yeah,
because I I've been saving this stuff. I believe what I've done, and I believe in the witness, and I even like the words I write, but. I started carrying the stuff, so moving that along is going to be for me a big step in the I'm the phase that I'm now kind of coining. It's really what it's about, retirement, I guess. Yeah, I think, right. I talked about that last week with Jeff Dietrich. So it's like, what does it mean to retire at the Catholic Worker? And if you're a founder, you just want to get rid of all that stuff. So that, and put it in a responsible place, and then you can then we'll go from there. So it's all part of my my mental health, and you have to always make it work for something. And this does take care of all that stuff I've been saving up for years, and maybe someday someone will find interest or not. I can let go of it. That's my good news for the week, I'm looking forward to the trip. I'll be spending it with Ruby, a couple of days, I'll try to make a pitch for this young woman to stick around. We're getting ready for our December 28th Feast of Holy Innocence event. We've got a guy coming in from Seattle, a biblical scholar, West Howard Brook, who really wrote the book that pretty much encapsulates my understanding of the biblical conflicts and the New Testament resolution to empire and violence, and who Jesus really was, and who he's asking us to really be. So it's great stuff. I'm looking forward to that. Hope I have enough people to show up to make it worth his while. Just if it were just him, it'd be worth his while for me. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
continue to amend and pray that we mend in together as a community on all the issues that are up for grabs.
Yeah,
and God, it's old hat, but leave it up to God. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
So that's what my Advent's about. It's been a tough year.
Yeah. Yeah, but, well, I don't know. I was going to say, in some ways, it's been a good year. I don't know.
Oh, I look back on the, I made a discipline to go through all the posts that we put out from our house and our community, and we put out a ton of them in the last year.
Yeah.
Lots of different actions of witness. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing we do what we do with the, shortcomings that we all bring to the effort and the emotional energy it takes just to live with each other, or not.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, community. Yeah. It's a crazy world. Much like marriage, but obviously different.
I got
one of our volunteers coming up the stairs. I'm on one of these interviews that I do weekly, Bob. Thank you. You just passing me by.
okay.
Yeah. Well, I should let you go. We're getting close to Christmas. I'll think of a good Christmas message next week. How's that sound?
Okay. That sounds good, Frank. Thanks again. And, have a good trip. And, talk to you next time.
All right, Chad. Thanks, Jack.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Palm trees wave, are you listening? In the pool, water's glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Living in a Florida wonderland. Gone away is the blizzard. Here to stay is the lizard. A warm sunny day, we like it that way, living in a Florida wonderland. On the beach we will have a picnic, turtles and seagulls and sun. Christmas dinner is an old tradition, it's grouper and stone crabs by the ton. Later on we'll perspire, as temperatures rise even higher. A warm sunny day, we like it that way, living in a Florida wonderland. Living in a Florida wonderland. Hey folks, Sorry for all of you up in the cold weather. We like it hot down here in Fort Lauderdale. What is the temperature up there in Duluth, Mike?
The temperature in Duluth, I don't know. It's probably in the 20s right now, I guess. It's going to be in the 30s.
Abe, you...
It's too warm. We're going to lose our snow if it gets into the it's going to get into the 30s and maybe 40s by the weekend. I don't want the snow to melt. I want it to be cold, but uh-huh. We need to get it down in the teens and whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I will stick with the warm temperatures.
I guess you get used to the tropical Christmas, don't you?
Yeah. I think so. Huh. Oh, well. So next half hour, we got, Jim Fetzer and Thomas Wertmann, right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, very good. That should be some good stuff. And, hey, see you on the flip side.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exo Politics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Schneider will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next guest to the show is Jim Fetzer. Jim Fetzer is a retired philosophy professor. He's a reporter, a radio show host, a researcher. He's doing a lot of good work in many different areas. And we're going to hear right now from Jim Fetzer in Madison, Wisconsin.
Chuck, great to be with you guys again. As many of the listeners to this show will be aware, Mike and I and Dave Gaheri, on behalf of Moon Rock Books, have been served with a lawsuit about our book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, the first edition of which appeared in 2015 and was banned by Amazon less than a month later after selling nearly 500 copies. The second edition of which was published by Moon Rock Books in 2016, where the lawsuit claims that I in particular, have defamed Lenny Posner by suggesting that a death certificate, which he gave to Kelly Watt after 100 hours of conversation with him, during which Kelly explained that she didn't believe a word he said, didn't believe he had a son, didn't believe he died at Sandy Hook, appears to be a fabrication, about which we published in Chapter 11 of both books. Having been served with a suit, which was filed on the 27th of November and served on the 29th, I was not surprised to receive a phone call from an Associated Press reporter at the Hartford Courant in Connecticut, where he called and began to interview me when the line was cut, not wanting him to believe I had hung up on him. I called him back, and here's how our conversation went. Professor, I just had a phone call from AP in Connecticut, and the phone cut off. I didn't cut it off. I wanted to record.
Okay. Calling Matt?
Yes. Okay.
Sure.
Thank you.
Hey, Pat, it's Jim Fetzer returning your call. I did not cut off. I don't know why it happened, but.
Okay.
No.
I'm just trying to get started to Lenny Hunter's lawsuit.
Right. There's a piece that's, I've just published two pieces on my blog at jamesfetzer.org that are related to this. If you want to know the background, I did a very extended discussion about Sandy Hook update, Tracy loses, Wolfgang wins, the Deep State Strikes Back, that's on BitChute. You can watch that to get the background. The lawsuit has no merit whatsoever. It's another effort to suppress the exposure of the Sandy Hook hoax, where the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students there, that it was a two-day FEMA drill to promote gun control. This is all thoroughly documented in the book I published back in 2015 with 13 contributors, including six current or retired PhD professors. We have no axe to grind. We only care about the truth. The government has been perpetrating these frauds on the American people since Obama nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 in the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012. Which was clearly intended to lay the foundation for a whole series of phony events, including Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, San Bernardino, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, where I'm bringing experts on these, publishing books about them at moonrockbooks.com, which I had to found after Amazon banned the first book, at Sandy Hook, which went on sale on 22 October 2015 and was banned on 19 November after an intervention from First Edition, which claimed they wanted to put me on their television program to discuss our Sandy Hook research, but I had to do a pre-interview first, and I found myself in what I'm convinced was a basement operation at Langley, where I was being subjected to a professional interrogation about what you got? And I said, well, we got, you know, 15 contributors, including six current or retired PhD professors. What you got? Well, we got 50 photographs showing that the used an empty house, furnished an empty house to be the Autumn Lawns home. What you got? Well, we got 50 more photographs refurbishing the school, including a classic where the SWAT team is already there. You can tell that it's before the event has occurred because you can see four windows just above the vehicle in classroom 10 that are undamaged. After the event, they would be damaged. The second in particular would be shot out. You come down the flagpole, and there's a familiar figure reclining against the wall with his arms folded, Wayne Carver, awaiting the arrival of his portable mortuary tent. There's crime scene tape up for crime that is yet to be committed. We initially, at the time of the book, thought it had been taken the morning of the 14th. It actually turns out from shadow analysis had been taken the evening of the 13th. We have the FEMA manual for the drill, which I published in the book. You can find it in Appendix A. We proved they closed the school by 2008 because it was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards, been damaged by a hurricane. There was even a major flood in the area in 2007. It was not habitable. Wolfgang Helbig has now established that they were actually using Chalk Hill for the students at Sandy Hook surreptitiously in order to preserve the illusion that Sandy Hook was still an operating school. But it's even easy to demonstrate that it was not, even based upon an aerial photograph of the parking lot, where you can see...
I've read all your stuff online.
Okay, good.
I also lived in Connecticut for 30 years. I was at Sandy Hook that day.
Well, I know these people. Are
you alleging that they have kept all these families, so-called actors, for 8 years on a payroll somewhere? Because they're all still living and they're all still in Sandy Hook and their homes are there and you can visit them and the graves are all still there. So I would
hate to think you've been played by this, but look, we're going to have a very vigorous legal defense against Leonard Posner, who appears to have been assigned the role of taking down research that would expose the hoax. If you can read my book and still believe it was real, I would suggest that there's something problematic about your cognitive function, because it's overwhelming that this was an elaborate scheme. In fact, Wolfgang even has photographs of eight of the Sandy Hook girls alive and well. You ought to take a closer look at the evidence, because you are being played.
All right. Thank you very much.
You got it. Imagine my surprise, therefore, when the story appeared and he declared that Mike Palachuk and I were the authors rather than the editors of the book, which was a gross falsification of the facts of the matter, which I'd even summarized him for him immediately before he published this story, as you have just heard, which, as an AP syndicated article, has been published worldwide, including in my own state newspaper, the Wisconsin State Journal. So I've dutifully written to the paper, which is by far the largest in Wisconsin, where I resigned, explaining that this appears to have been done because once you know there were 13 contributors, and yes, I mistakenly said 14 during that brief conversation, there were in fact 13 contributors, including six current or retired PhDs, the likelihood that we would be wrong in our conclusion becomes exceedingly remote. Not impossible, of course, but with a probability approaching zero as its limit. Here's my letter to the Wisconsin State Journal, which I submitted on 9 December 2018, which they have yet to publish, and where I predict, because they are playing their role as part of the Mockingbird media, they're almost certain not to publish. I suggested the title Fake News About Sandy Hook Suit. Editor, the AP reporter who sent out the story about a Sandy Hook father suing me and Mike Palachuk falsified the most basic facts of the matter. We did not author but edited the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook 2015, which has 13 contributors. The book was produced by CreateSpace, a subsidiary of Amazon, and went on sale 22 October 2015. After selling nearly 500 copies in less than a month, it was banned by Amazon.com on 19 November, no doubt because it blows the case apart and exposes the scam. Six of the 13 are current or retired PhD professors, one of whom had published 80 articles about Sandy Hook before I edited the book. I myself had published 30. We discovered that the school was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards and been closed by 2008. It was a two-day FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control, with a rehearsal on the 13th going live on the 14th. Some participants became confused about the dates and put up donation websites the day before the shooting is alleged to have taken place. I explained this to the AP reporter before he published, but it would have defeated the purpose of his fake news story. The PDF of the book can be downloaded for free using the title. You can verify what we discovered for yourself. The FEMA manual for the drill appears as Appendix A. Nobody died at Sandy Hook. And now for more, go to my blog at jamesfetzer.blogspot and check out Fake News About False Flag Lawsuit. AP reporter caught falsifying this story. That's what you should expect from the mainstream media, which is nothing but fake news. Fake news 24/7. Thanks, you guys, for featuring me again.
Our next guest to the show is Thomas Wortman. Thomas Wortman joins us from Cleveland, Ohio. Thomas is the director of the Ohio MUFON, Mutual UFO Network. And so now we're going to attempt to contact Thomas Wortman in Cleveland, Ohio.
Hello.
Well, hello, Thomas. It's Chuck and Mike, the new American Dream Radio Show, and you're on the air.
Great. Last month, I think, when we talked, I kind of hinted about having regressions done at one time and having my own sightings. I want to kind of go back and pick that point up if I could. One of the events I had, the most recent event I had, actually seen my own objects, goes back right around 15, maybe 16 years ago, something like that now. And I had just happened to be driving home. I worked a evening shift at where I worked. Actually, I shouldn't say evening shift. I taught evening classes, to be more exact, for a college. And I just left the college, you know, I was in the car driving home a little after 10 o'clock at night. And I'm going down a turnpike, and I just happened to look out my window towards the city of Cleveland, which was to the north of me. And I see what appears to be maybe almost like a reflection off my window inside of the car. And this reflection, as I called it that time, looked kind of like triangular shape. And it was dark, and you could see it definitely darker against the background of the sky. And I'm like, is that something I'm seeing or what? Well, I rolled the window down, and the reflection, as I called it, didn't disappear. It was still there. So it actually was no reflection. And I see this triangular-shaped object traveling very slowly to the south. And it was very large in size, and against the dark sky, you couldn't get an exact size. But if I had to hold my hand out at arm's length, this thing had to be about the size of my fist, if not a little bit bigger, at arm's length. So it was pretty good size. And just to make sure I wasn't seeing anything, I pulled over to the side of the road, rolled my sunroof back on the car I was in at that time, and I could watch this object gradually passing slowly over my car. It had no lights on it whatsoever, but you could actually see three distinct corners of this object, and it was a triangular-shaped object without lights. I'm just watching this thing completely in disbelief. I'm like, am I really seeing this thing? And you can kind of picture under check. I mean, here comes some colorful metaphors out of my mouth at this point. Like, what the heck, you know? And this thing just kept drifting slowly to the south, disappeared, and okay, just got, picked up the car and drove back off down the highway. Next day, I saw nothing on the news, nothing on any newspapers, TV shows, anything like that. Nobody else appeared to notice the object at all that I saw. And I thought, you know, am I kind of crazy on this? Well, several years later, I joined up with an astronomy club. And I just happened to be talking to some of the people at the astronomy club on air about this. And I didn't tell them what I saw, but I said, you know, I said, have you ever seen anything yourself? And you normally associate people watching the sky through telescopes on air if you say astronomy. Well, in this case, a number of them also just go out and lay in lawn chairs at night. They lay in the lawn chairs, they just look at the sky, they sky watch. And if they see something interesting, then they get binoculars out. Well, I had three separate people come up at different times over a weekend event that we're holding down here. And they said, hey, I want to tell you about my own sighting. I said, what? They said, you may not believe this, but I saw a triangular-shaped object as I was laying out sky watching. I get out my binoculars, I see this thing, look at it through the binoculars, and you can see, I said, it's a definite distinct triangle going over it. And they said, you know, I didn't want to tell anybody else in the group because they would have probably thought I was nuts. Well, three separate individuals basically told me three separate times the same type of story. Now, it didn't happen all at the same time to them, but it were different time frames. But nonetheless, here other people had seen a similar shaped object to what I did. And as I always tell people, you know, don't, if you see something like this, don't compare it back to exactly the Phoenix Lights. Picture it on its own, for its own status on it, whatever you're seeing. And I kept track of everything I was seeing as like a separate event non-related to those. Because they didn't want to take and make associations with something else that may kind of mislead what I was seeing on here. So that was the most recent event that I had seeing an object on here. I've also had events going clear back to the 1960s. Back in the 1960s, I think I mentioned before that I was out on what we called a so-called hunting expedition. Really, it was hunting refrigerators, washers, dryers, appliances of people abandoned in fields in South Carolina and have to be in peach orchards. If we saw something like that, we shot it. Well, me and a buddy were out on our expedition on one Sunday afternoon, bright sunny day, and he said, hey, let's go back down in the woods behind the house. As we started walking deeper and deeper and deeper into the woods, he looks at me and says, hey, you notice anything? I said, no, I don't notice anything. He says, do you hear anything? No. He says, that's a problem. I don't hear anything. It went silent back here. And he goes, you know, when it goes silent, the Swamply comes out. And the Swamply was this Bigfoot-type creature, as he called it. Well, he started getting more panicked, and I thought he was kidding me to begin with. Now, here we are, shotguns, and he's walking deeper into the woods. Instead of getting out of the woods, he decides to go deeper into the woods. And I look up at the same time, and I notice this silver disc-shaped object hovering above the tree lines. So we keep walking. I'm looking up. I see this disc-shaped object. It kind of appears to be following us as we're going through the woods. Now, I've heard some people say, by the way, that, wow, why didn't you shoot it? No, that may not be a good idea. I didn't even cross my mind about shooting it. But I just kept watching as we're going down deeper through this woods. Finally, he starts getting more panicky about something being in the woods. So he starts running towards the opposite side of the woods to go out of the woods, the closest road he thinks he can find. And along the way, he mentions something like an owl. He said, did you see the owl? We finally get out of the woods. And all he starts talking about is seeing this large 4-foot-tall owl standing in front of us in the woods. Now, I never told him about this object that was hovering above us the whole time. I never saw the object there, the owl that he claimed to be in front of us. All the way back home, I don't know how many miles we walked home that day, because, again, we went completely opposite direction of our house. We walked back these old dirt roads. And he's talking about the owl, the owl, the owl. And I never mentioned to him about the dish-shaped object hovering directly above us on there. Well, I never ran into him after that event. I mean, it was only maybe a few months later we moved away from that area. And we never brought it back up again, never talked about it. And I'd always wondered, you know, was there something deeper to that whole event that weekend on here? So I just happened to be talking to one of my friends locally on here. And I told him about my different events over the years. And he goes, you know, you ever think about doing regression? I said, regression? I said, you know, that was like X number of years ago. I don't know if I really want to do a regression. I don't know if I really care about finding out what happened about 50 years ago now. And he goes, well, you know, why don't you try it? And I'm thinking, well, I'm an old geezer right now. I don't know if I can really be subjected to a hypnosis. I mean, maybe somebody younger, but I don't know about me. So I thought, well, let's try it, and let's try going through the experience on here. So he set me up an individual we both knew who'd done a number of regressions in the past, and I took along recorders with me because I wanted to record the event because I wanted to make sure that somebody wasn't trying to plant things in my mind, maybe have me acting like an idiot later on, or just planning things in my mind, period, of something that maybe I didn't see, but they're leading me on to believe something I had seen something on there. Well, it all began by her taking me into a room. She set a very quiet environment on here, and she started with a procedure to basically make me relax into a deeper and deeper state of relaxation. I know we went to this fictional room that you maybe go into, kind of a safe room on there, going down stair steps. And after, I don't know how long it was, we finally reached to a point. She said, okay, now let's go walking basically through this woods. We're going to be walking through this woods, you know, be looking around, describing what you're seeing on there. And that's where I was at when we had our sighting. And she made me go back through this point, and it was kind of crazy because I remember looking around, seeing the trees, seeing a lot of things today, like the way they looked when, in this case, we'd gone through my event on there. I remembered looking up, seeing an object. I remembered looking around me on there. I don't remember seeing what my friend did. I do remember at one point him getting excited. And we kind of relived those events. Now, one thing that did happen is at one point during the regression, I started getting much more nervous. my breathing started going up. And she didn't know why. I think she was actually getting a little bit paranoid. Maybe something was going to happen to this guy, because here I am getting much older. I was like in my 50s, and she's thinking, I don't want somebody to die of a heart attack during the regression in my house. So she brought me out of it. Well, then we also went back and did two more regressions. And during the regressions on there, she took me to a point back again through the safe room, back in this case to this path, walking down this path. And I remembered hearing something coming from behind us. And she asked me what I was doing. I said, you know, something's coming from behind. Well, can you turn and look? I said, no, I can't turn my head. It's almost either like I'm terrified to turn my head or I'm unable to turn my head. Well, and she basically asked me to describe what was going on. And I said, something's coming up on my right-hand side, so I'm going to go to my left because it looks like it's trying to come up on my right. I'm going to go to my left to get away from it. Well, so I went to my left. The object came, or I should say thing, came around to my left. I could hear like footsteps shuffling through the leaves coming up on my left-hand side. And as I tried to go one direction, another direction, it was almost like it was, I guess you could say, hurting me to go to a certain direction. And I remembered coming out of the woods at one point into this field. And there was a clearing down in there. And all of a sudden, everything in this cave shop went blank. I don't know what happened at that point. Then we tried to go back to that point. And again, same thing happened again on other regressions as my heart rate went up, my breathing went up, and as a matter of fact, it started getting extremely panicky. So again, kind of a similar thing, afraid something was going to happen. And she kept trying to get through. She called it this block. And she told me later on, she goes, she didn't know why, but, you know, something was causing me to get panicky and not want to basically follow the suggestion she was giving to me. She says, like a very, very strong block preventing that all. And we went back over to multiple regressions, and we even tried changing time frames. She put me into a different time frame. In this case, describe another experience. And on another experience, I was laying there, and I started going into basically sleep paralysis.
Find some comfort in Willow's world.
I remembered
a variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host.
Join Willow
Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
But thank you so much, and we look forward to having you on next time.
Next time, then.
Okay.
Alert, listen up now.
Tune to Ritual Corner with Ritual 0XE05173. We talk about decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendedbite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now we join, in progress, another episode of The Americans. The Americans is brought to us by Crisis Actors of the Homeland, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Kraft and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, Charlottesville, and so much more. The Americans dream of marshmallow clouds and lollipop lanes and TV towns, while the world wails, fists clenched, tears streaming. The Americans dream of rocket ships, fireworks, freedom, and hallelujah, while they sleep on through the alarm, the house of fire. It's true that the newcomers to Washington, D.C. are different than ever before, but after all is said and done, they are Americans. The construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system and to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with a message. Let me put it this way. While 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation, probably subcontracted for execution to the Israelis, the entire Washington swamp has been, since 9/11, accomplice after the fact by helping to maintain the cover-up. If this is brought into light, then thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into the scandal. From way far away, we zoom in and see all gathered around the cherry tree set up for Christmas in the middle of the parallelogram office. The cherry tree is decorated with fake snow and copies of the Warren Commission report and the 9/11 Commission report. Gold and silver glitter is scattered over the floor. In the corner with the donkeys and elephants, Benjamin Netanyahu giggles in the manger while George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama, wearing towels on their heads and bearing gold and cream cheese bagels, kneel in a row. Everyone wears their camo pajamas and sips hot cocoa from camel mugs. They all sit on big green and red cushy pillows. President Cosmo Nutt, dressed from head to toe in camel and wearing a camel Santa's cap, proudly brings in the Big Book of America as the band, the Good Americans, stands over by the window and sings quietly the Star-Spangled Banner to the tune of Jingle Bells. President Nutt settled into the big chair. As he waits for everyone to get settled and scooch up closer, he scribbles in the margins of the Big Book of America passed down from Jefferson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt. Nutt put up a hand to extinguish a yawn and drew with pen in the old book a few dollar signs, boobs, and tanks. All around him in the low light of the high fourth-story office sit Imelda Nutt, Rusty the Patsy, Mama Jemima the MK Ultra Trainer, Jews the Limo Driver, Buzz the Space Dog, Ricardo the Space Cat, Muhammad Ali the Terrorist, Slappy the House Alien, Morgan Freeman of the Office of the War of the Worlds, Warren Beatty, the Secretary of Getting Things Right, and Cecil B. DePropaganda, the White House photographer, while the child left behind watched from under the big desk, writing on the yellow legal pad over and over and over it, whispering to herself, "Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. Fuck you, I won't do what you tell me." Nutt waited while Buzz circled his cushy pillow three times before getting settled, and then began to read. America is number one, and God and Santa love America most, and Christmas is for us, and this is how it all happened, really. The story of Christmas is the story of America, and the story of America is the story of Christmas. And it began like that, and it goes on forever and ever, just like that, he read from the book. Once upon a time, there was a very bad man deep in the woods, deep in the desert, deep in the ocean, high in the mountains. His name was Osama bin McVeigh, bin Atta, bin Sirhan, bin Big Bad Wolf, bin Oswald, bin Manson, bin Putin, bin Saddam, bin Ramalama Ding Dong, bin Bopshi Bopshi Bop. And they all snuggled closer together as the good Americans hummed, "And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free," to the tune of "Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer." Nutt continued, "Modern propaganda techniques utilized by the corporate state to enforce anti-democratic and destructive policies routinely entail the manufacture and manipulation of news events to mold public opinion and, as Edward Bernays put it, engineer consent towards certain ends. Such events include not only overt political appeals, but also acts of seemingly spontaneous terrorism and militarism that traumatize the body politic into ultimately accepting false narratives as political and historical realities. Upon securing a second term in 1916, the Democratic administration of Woodrow Wilson plunged the U.S. into the most violent and homicidal war in human history. Wilson, a former Princeton University academician groomed for public office by Wall Street bankers, assembled a group of progressive left journalists and publicists to sell the war to the American people. George Creel, Walter Lippmann, Edward Bernays, and Harold Laswell all played influential roles in the newly formed Committee on Public Information and would go on to be major figures in political thought, public relations, and psychological warfare research. The sales effort was unparalleled in its scale and sophistication. The CPI was not only able to officially censor news and information, but essentially manufacture these as well. Acting in the role of a multifaceted advertising agency, Creel's operation examined the different ways that information flowed to the population and flooded these channels with pro-war material. The committee's domestic organ was comprised of 19 subdivisions, each devoted to a specific type of propaganda, one of which was a division of news that distributed over 6,000 press releases and acted as the chief avenue for war-related information. On an average week, more than 20,000 newspaper columns carried data provided through CPI propaganda. The division of syndicated features enlisted the help of popular novelists, short story writers, and essayists. These mainstream American authors presented the official line in the readily accessible form, reaching 12 million people every month. The U.S. economic provocation of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor and the Tonkin Gulf incident precipitating U.S. military occupation of Vietnam are obvious examples of such manufactured events. Similar techniques are apparent in the major political assassinations of the 60s, where to this day the public is prompted to partake in the false reality that Lee Harvey Oswald was the sole culprit in the murder of President John F. Kennedy, much as Sirhan was responsible for the death of Senator Robert Kennedy. In fact, in each instance, overwhelming evidence points to Central Intelligence Agency involvement in orchestrating the assassinations while training and presenting Oswald and Sirhan as the would-be assassins. The U.S. government's assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is not even open to debate, having been soundly proven in the court of law. Yet, as with the Kennedys, it is a genuine public relations achievement that much of the American population is oblivious to the deeper dynamics of these political slayings that are routinely overlooked or inaccurately recounted in public discourse. Along these lines, in the historical context of Operation Gladio, the Oklahoma City Murrah Federal Building bombing, the events of September 11, 2001, the London 7/7/2005 bombings, and lesser episodes such as the shoe and underwear bombers, the engineering of consent has reached staggering new heights, where state-orchestrated terrorism is used to mold public opinion toward acceptance of militarized policing operations, the continued erosion of civil liberties, and major sustained aggression against moderate Middle Eastern nations to cartelize scarce resources and politically reconfigure an entire region of the world. Again, the public is essentially compelled to believe that political extremism of one form or another is the cause of each event, even in light of how the sophistication and scope of the Oklahoma City and 9/11 attacks suggest high-level forces at work.
If one is to delve beneath the public relations narrative of each event, the Newtown Massacre and Boston Marathon bombing likewise appear to have broader agendas where the public is again purposely misled. Conventional journalists and academics are reluctant to publicly address such phenomena for fear of being called conspiracy theorists. The achievements of modern public relations are further evident in the Warren and 9/11 commissions themselves, both of which have spun the fantastic myths of Alan Dulles and Peter Zelikow, respectively, and that today maintain footholds in public discourse and consciousness. Indeed, the conspiracy theory meme, a propaganda campaign waged by the CIA beginning in the mid-1960s to counter criticism of the Warren Commission report, is perhaps as little known as Operation Mockingbird, the CIA program where hundreds of journalists and publishers actively devoted their services to spread agency disinformation. The overall effect of these combined operations has been an immensely successful program, continues to shape the contours of American political life and mediated reality. The present socio-political condition and suppression of popular democracy are triumphs of modern propaganda technique. And to all a good night, shouted President Cosmo Nutt, slamming the big book closed as the Secretary of Defense walked around the room banging garbage lids together to wake everybody up, and they all took their empty hot chocolate mugs to the kitchen and tiptoed off to bed. While out on the sidewalk, on the other side of the razor wire fence, Skippy, the construction worker and self-taught on YouTube demolition expert, stood around a crowded fire. He looked up at the fourth floor and saw all the activity and merriment going on in the parallelogram office. Skippy sang low, warming his hands over the edge, the rusted garbage barrel. Thinking about burning it down, boys. Thinking about burning it down. Nothing's ever going to be the same in this town. Thinking about burning it down.
Well, it's been another long week in Moon Rock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. Local self-published author Solomon Sendak wrote the prologue to a conspiracy book published by local online publisher Pluto Press. So yeah, I've been waiting months and months to be able to put this book out. We've lived through years and years of American life with all its banalities and trivialities and ritual, going through the motions until this day. And finally, I'm able to say that the whole war on terror is phony. The whole meme winds up through the fake terror attacks since then, and only a few scattered outlaws know where it's leading. But we are Butch and Sundance, you and I. We're going to head them off at the goddamn pass. All of American life leans on the fake attacks of September 11, 2001. Oh, the killing and dying that day were real. But the rest of our culture based on that false event is phony and fake, built in sand, so to speak. George W. Bush did it. Yep, that stupid idiot knows the truth, and he'll never tell you. He's as afraid now as he was sitting in front of that second grade class. He knew the material was over his grade level. You've seen his press conferences where he's asked the questions and he dances around them saying, there's a time for politics. There's a time for jail cells. Dick Cheney, dude. You heard the quote from Mineta about the incoming whatever into the Pentagon? Condoleezza Rice did it. She knows the truth. An actual terrorist. Karl Rove did it. We are an empire now, and you'll be left to study what we have done while we go on to do other evil things. Israel did it. The dancing Israelis on Israeli television saying we were only there to film the event. You saw all that. You know all that. And still you parked in your same spot at work, go in at the same time, go home, come back again. How much more proof do you need? Well, there's plenty in this book if you'll take it to the bank, that is. My mother once said that when she was young, they heard the War of the Worlds fake radio broadcast. And it scared them. They got into the car and drove just to be moving, to be doing something, I guess, when the world ended. I think that we do that every day. In our case, we know what's going on. We think there's nothing we can do about it, so we just work as hard as we can and shop and drink and get into debt and whatever it takes just to be in motion. Because if we sit still, the world will end and we'll just be sitting there. Used to have a great world, woods, lakes, oceans, animals, people, and it's gone. Greatest generation, silent generation, the silent majority, the younger generation, Generation X, baby boomers, millennials, Generation Z, everyone's talking after church, on the phone, texting, surfing, Facebooking, just all around communicating, but so, yeah, nobody's really saying anything. Not that what you're saying is wrong or you shouldn't talk. No, I wish I could communicate like you. Doing great things, creating, talking, being good to each other, laughing, being funny, working hard, learning new things, all that, but it's not enough. Even all that doesn't get it. Go to the root. All that. Ideas, plans, well, it's just ridiculous if we don't even care enough to understand how we're being manipulated by lies. Yes, by the CIA, the rich, the government, all that standard conspiracy theory jargon you've learned to mistrust. If your life's going to make sense, to have worth, don't throw your present life away. Just find room for more. Because there is more. So much more. Just saying. So yeah, Operation Northwoods was a plan concocted by American leaders to murder American citizens, involving planes, and fooled the American people into believing it was done by someone else in order to justify our military attacking Cuba. President John Kennedy was informed of the plan, and he vetoed it, and they killed him. President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney did not turn down the plan to attack America on September 11, 2001. They went along with it. Perhaps they helped plan it. They live in big houses, big lives. We don't know all the details. We do know they've not told us the truth. The truth is not important to them, and neither are we. That is our world. Of course it matters. Practically everything is connected to that day. When you go as fast as you can on the elliptical, watching the TV in front of you, and you're sweating out your demons with your phone and your water and your locker key and all the little handy slots on the machine, you're not connected to the TV because you're above that. You're listening to your music on your iPod, and this is your workout and your world. You have those earbuds shoved so far into your head they're almost touching. You'll do anything not to have to listen to those two women talking to your right, or those two men to your left, or those goddamn idiots in front of you. And behind you, more idiots. Small talk doesn't only bore you. It's more than that. It isn't to the point. It's disruption. It's hesitating. It's cowardice. You'd sooner poke out your eardrums than have to hear the conversation to the Americans around you. You're not an American. You're not one of those. You're different. You're better. You're smart. They're stupid idiots. You cast glances towards CNN on the one TV, and there's cooking on the middle TV and house shopping on the third. Every day, all day, the three choices. You run, sweat. The TVs play loop after loop. You know the truth, but you say nothing. You know these people. They're Americans, and they will kill you. And the first utterance of 9/11, was it? Well, they know what you're getting at. They come toward you. They know your whole argument, your whole life, and they'll kill you. You shut your mouth, then we'll shut it for you. The TV, the Standard announcers talk about the elections. Sometimes terror, more elections, a little more terror. On the cooking shows, they compete, bake, test, run full speed around a kitchen. The house shoppers clutch hundreds of thousands of dollars in tight fists. They seek a nice space for their comely lives. All based on the premise that the attacks of September 11, 2001 were done by radical Islamic terrorists. To understand and proclaim the truth would be to topple the turnip truck in the middle of Mayberry, to overturn the Piroshki cart right in Red Square, the apple cart in front of the White House, the money changers' tables in the temple. There would be no more CNN, no more cooking with the chubby countess, no more biggest house, best bathroom, widest kitchen. You might not even need to artificially sweat yourself to death every day. Life would not be fake. It would be interesting. You would talk to your neighbor, not about stupid, idiotic trivialities, but things that matter. You would not want to just die and give up and get it over with. You would want to live. That's what they've taken from you, your life. It matters. Think of what could be done with the billions of dollars that are spent for flag napkins at the church fellowship hall, for the little flags for everyone in the crowd at the ball game, for the flags for each student in the bleachers they feel into the gym. The last living veteran of the war that killed the Indians. The flags next to the altar. The flag lapels for the United States Congress. The flags in the cemetery. Nobody really listens to TV news anymore, just the dumb people, and you're not one of those. Nobody reads newspapers, just the ones with kids in sports. Nobody listens to radio, just the old guy at the post office who has Rush on full blast all afternoon. Everyone's smarter than that. There's other stuff to occupy our time. We don't have to spend all day plowing fields and killing Indians or discovering washer dryers and automatic garage door openers and security systems. It's all been done. We really don't have that much to do. This is our Jetsons time when we can just whoosh around in the air with no roads, have something like fun, and well, not really like that. So we imagine, we daydream, we wonder what life would be like over there, or if only. I imagine that when we're not sweating, we're studying history. There's more to it than you know, U.S. history. There are lots and lots of Indians slaughtered. The Ludlow Massacre, Haymarket Square, Palmer Raids, lynchings. There's so much to know, and if you don't know at least some of it, you don't know anything. You don't know what's going on as you watch CNN. But surprisingly, CNN does make sense if you know what you're looking at. You're looking at the culmination of manifest destiny. Such highly refined, sugar-coated superficiality that you can't even see it. Kind of fascinating, actually. Soviet drove up to someone on the street and shoved them inside. We've cloaked the Black Maria and made it smell like freshly baked bread, the kind you stick in the oven to try to sell the house. And that's the news from Moonrock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security, COINTELPRO, lone gunmen are about average. And that wraps up another episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. And remember, we're streaming here live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. It's a listener-supported network, so head on over to freedomslips.com. Use that donation button. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
And thank you, Chuck, for all you did to make the show happen. Thanks to our guests, Thomas Wertman, Jim Fetzer, Phil Ferruzio, and Frank Cordero. Please visit the New American Dream website at newdream.us. Also, Penn Magazine, PENN Magazine.us.
If you'd like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Worker, write to the Philbert, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. And so good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawksbrum. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Muhammad Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Message to our favorite people in all the world, our listeners. Revolution Radio is you. Now, thanks to your continuing support, Revolution Radio will embark on its sixth year bigger and better than ever. You, the listeners, have made Revolution Radio what it is, the number one commercial-free, listener-supported talk radio station on the web and in the world. With 24 hours of live programming, 92 hosts on two astounding networks, Studio A and Studio B, delivering directly to you the most cutting-edge information available. In fact, you, the listeners, have gone on to be some of our most popular radio hosts. You, the listener, offer feedback that molds our programming to appeal to our worldwide audience. In fact, you, the listener, provide us with eyes and ears on the ground to give us the inside scoop on stories the mainstream media fears to touch, reporting about newsworthy events in your area, and you, the listener, are the lifeblood of this station. And we thank you for being such a treasured member of our Revolution Radio family. And so this holiday season, from all of us to all of you, have a happy and safe holiday season, and let's make this new year a success once again together. Thank you.
Is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them. They're gonna kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener